welcome you again to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
Very good to be back. Good that we could resume this session on the life of Hudson Taylor. And we're looking forward very much to looking into his life and work again. That could be a great help to us in our own personal life and Christian life.
Well, Bill, today we're coming to the fifth session on Hudson Taylor. Of course, we realize that both his living and his work really have proved to be such a good pattern to us. And today, as you recall, last time we got into when Hudson returned back home for the restoration of his health. While he was there, he really sounded a call to the other believers there in England to awaken to the calling of the Great Commission to go forth and publish the glad tidings. And so during that time, he raised up more workers to go back with him. I'm sure Hudson was beseeching the Lord of the harvest and seeking the Lord that more workers would go back with him and carry the same burden to reach the Chinese in the interior of China with the gospel. So upon his return, you know, they both Hudson and these new arrivals got into their daily duties of preaching the gospel, of shepherding new believers. Hudson was quite involved with correspondence, and he was also, of course, rendering medical service to those whom he came into contact with. But the main thing we want to share today, Bill, is how Hudson kept focused through all the things that they were passing through, and that is he was focused on the Great Commission. And Hudson Taylor said that the Great Commission was not an option to be considered, but a command to be obeyed. And so even though they passed through right through the midst of all kinds of illnesses and dangers and different trials that they encountered along the way, they kept the Lord's word to go and disciple all the nations. This never departed from Hudson's heart and his mind, and also his practice. And Hudson mentioned that he believed the apostolic plan was not to raise ways and means, but just simply to go and do the work. And so this was Hudson's focus, and I appreciate, Bill, both you and I know that in serving you can be distracted into many other things, but Hudson kept a very clear focus while they were over there laboring.
Now that's true, Marty. No doubt Hudson Taylor was one of the greatest missionaries in the history of the Christian church, because he undertook a serious plan to carry out the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. And of course, he was unique among the missionaries in that he wanted to penetrate the interior of China. Most missionaries, I think we realized at that time, only would work on the coastal areas of China. But Hudson and his group took it upon himself to labor and do an extraordinary work in the inward parts of mainland China, way inland. And of course, he was tested many times, especially in the early days of the work. Of course, he had a little mission. They encountered, unfortunately, even criticism from other Christians in China.
Mm-hmm.
I think we realize that the China Inland Mission was unique in that Taylor adapted his missionaries to wear the Chinese dress.
Right.
And he accepted women as missionaries. And there were no denominational affiliations. They did not have that kind of binding kind of way. Of course, these criticisms hurt him quite much because they were from genuine believers,
right,
that were also doing missionary work. Of course, he realized that in order to reach the Chinese, you have to be like the Chinese. And he
right.
was unique in this matter. Of course, sailing for China under Hudson's leadership, his missionaries, you know, adhered to his policies and so on. And of course, this even led to discord within this small group of workers,
right?
And even among the missionary supporters that supported him who were back in England.
Mm-hmm.
So Hudson, you know, Taylor and his wife, Maria, of course, they felt this deeply. It was not a small thing to have this discord go on. They just simply, they were not deterred in this matter, Marty. They just pressed on in their daily duties,
mm-hmm.
preaching the gospel, providing medical services, and, of course, giving everything to the Lord in prayer.
Yeah, it's quite touching with all the things from without happening to have a little discord from within his own small group of workers proved to be a little bit more difficult. But Hudson and Maria, they did not seek to defend themselves. They just pressed on and kept their focus. And he was really comforted. He said he knew that God had called him for the work and put him where he was and as he was. And he did not seek this position of leadership, but he said he dare not leave it either, that he knew that the Lord had placed him here in China, and whether it was to serve or just simply to learn and suffer, he was going to remain faithful. So they just devoted themselves afresh to reaching those in the interior of China and pressed on. And through time, the Lord began to bless their work. So this was quite a testimony, but it did come at a great cost. And Hudson said something that similar to what's recorded in the Old Testament. He said they did not offer to the Lord that which cost them nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it did cost them something. And course, we know that what was at cost was just all the trials and sufferings they passed through, even including in their traveling.
Right.
Of course, traveling throughout China was very arduous and sometimes dangerous. And sometimes they even couldn't go within a dwelling place for their sleeping or rest.
Right.
So they were exposed to the extremes of the climate.
Mm-hmm.
They passed through many primitive roads and sometimes even robbers. And when they did have housing, the living conditions were often poor. And they also encountered diseases that were really unknown in England. And sometimes these were a real threat to them. Of course, they also, while they were there, they did suffer loneliness, sometimes a lack of funds, and like we mentioned, the misunderstandings from other fellow Christians. And let alone the hostility that they encountered sometimes from the local people that they were trying to reach. These people were sometimes fearful and suspicious of foreigners. So Hudson said, you know, the highest service demands the greatest sacrifice, but it also secures the fullest blessing and the greatest fruitfulness. So they pressed on. Of course, I think some of the things that were hardest for them to bear were the sufferings that were involved with their own family members. And Hudson, of course, he lost his couple of his own children there in China through disease.
Right.
And when he traveled, it was very difficult to be away from his wife and his children for extended periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he had to go forth to look for new stations and new opportunities to open up within China. But when he was back home, he really treasured his time with his family. So, Bill, I'm sure as one who's traveled a bit, you can relate to this. It's not easy. And it proved to be, I'm sure, 100 years ago, much more difficult than it is today.
Right, Marty. I don't think we can understand what they went through. We have the modern convenience of airplanes, cars, all kinds of things. They really suffered, especially the families themselves. Again, like you mentioned, Hudson eventually lost his wife, Maria, at age 33. He lost two of his dear children, especially his 8-year-old girl, Grace, who was a treasure to him. She, of course, contracted cholera at a certain point, she contracted malaria. I think it was his wife, Maria, who died of cholera at childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they lost that 8-year-old girl was a huge loss. They called her the sunshine of their lives.
Right.
But even in his sorrow, Hudson could still testify that there was no vain or unintelligent act when knowing this land, its people and climate, I laid my wife and children with myself on the altar for this service. So he really had a charge from the Lord. He really had the fortitude and strength to pass through all kinds of conceivable suffering. And, you know, the Lord told us he would never leave us or forsake us. And that, like Paul said, my strength is made perfect in weakness, what the Lord, you know, said that Paul quoted. So not only did they pass through that, Marty, they during times of peace and also times of misunderstandings and riots, opening up new missionary stations in the inland areas of China was not an easy thing. Uncomfortable travel boats.
Right.
No place to lay their heads sometimes. They didn't even know where they were going to sleep. The Chinese watched them, you know, called them foreign devils many times.
Right.
They were many times identified with other Westerners who were pushing the opium trade. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they were considered as imperialists with the gospel as a front or a facade. They thought that they were spreading imperialism to take over China. But Hudson, you know, and his co-workers, they remained peaceful, even though there were many misunderstandings. So this was really a lot what they went through. They were considered like the Lord. You know, the Lord was condemned as despised and rejected of men.
Right.
And Hudson and his company, they really could identify with that. But really, they felt all of it was worth coming to China for.
Yeah, these stories, Bill, really give an account of their sufferings. Of course, Hudson said if they would stayed at home, they would never have known these sufferings, but they would have never known the Lord either in this these kind of deeper ways. So they appreciated over time these kind of experiences of standing with the Lord to go forth with the gospel. He did give one account of one time when they were opening a frontier in a new city called Yangzhou, that some right away began to stir up trouble.
Yeah.
And these people put up posters around the city and warned people about the foreigners. And they were accused of horrendous things, of like kidnapping children.
Right.
So every time the Chinese would see the Western missionaries, they would shout all kinds of insults, and they would loot their belongings. And apparently one night it got so bad that Hudson and a fellow worker, they had to slip away by night to run to the governor of the province to seek protection.
Right.
And in the meantime, here's the other missionaries and the children still at the station there.
Yeah.
And they had to jump out windows to flee from the rioting mobs. And, of course, they suffered some injuries, and their house was looted. Their books were burned. But they said overall the Lord preserved them and kept them. And it's quite amazing. Like Paul, you read in the book of Acts, eventually, in a similar way, these saints, they were able to return. They came back into that same city to continue to bear the Lord's testimony there. And eventually, there were several who believed and were baptized there. So Hudson, he summarized his feeling was that God brings his people into difficulties on purpose sometimes so that they would come to know him more and to learn of the Lord's loving kindness in all these different situations. So there's a time, no doubt, of high price, high cost, but they really gained something of Christ during these times in their going forth, Bill.
That's really so. Of course, Marty, they were. He was also not without problems concerning finances.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the financial support and supply is always a big test. Hudson, he believed that God's work, right, that if it's done in God's way, would never lack God's supplies. And that was tested because, you know, as the staff grew, the work grew, the need of the funds increased.
Mm-hmm.
There were some problems with the declining amount of the financial support back from England. And that forced them all to just to pray.
Right.
That the Lord would supply their need in difficult situation. And it's really something that one of the brothers back in England who heard about the need of the China Inland Mission and the missionaries there of Hudson Taylor, he also himself was like an impoverished brother named George Mueller.
Right.
Right? Of course, George Mueller there in Bristol set up this orphanage. And he had tremendous needs, financial needs there of his own work,
right,
for caring for hundreds of orphanages there in Bristol. That's the west side of the United Kingdom. So Mueller continued to pray for
right.
Hudson's work, even though he himself in his own work was short. Then it was at this time he was led by the Lord to send some extra finances to the China Inland Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's recorded that when that George Mueller wrote to Hudson Taylor and said, dear brother, the work of the Lord in China is more and more laid upon my heart. And I've been longing and praying to be able to assist it more and more with means,
right,
financial means, as well as my prayer. So he said, my chief objective, as well as his prayer, is to tell you that I love you in the Lord, and that I feel deeply interested about the Lord's work in China, and I daily pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
So this really encouraged Hudson Taylor and his fellow workers that there was some financial supply coming from George Mueller there in Bristol.
Amen. Well, as these burdens increased upon Hudson from without, Hudson also passed through a period of time where he was really kind of struggling within. And he recorded it as a period of dissatisfaction in his Christian life. Even though he was very busy and the work was advancing, he couldn't deny he had some feelings of pressure and discouragement upon him. And, of course, Hudson, you could say he was really getting just worn out, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So, he was seeking, but he really wasn't restful. And you could see this in his biography. And Hudson said he was just longing to be released from a life of striving and struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to enter into more of a life of trusting and gracious supply with joy. Well, it's very interesting, Bill, that you read in his biography that about this time a brother, a fellow companion or fellow worker, sent him a letter and was testifying to Hudson that he was receiving spiritual help and renewal through a book he came upon. His book was called Christ is All. It was by the author named Henry Law. And so Hudson, he began to read this book and began to receive some real help. And he began to enter into a new life of abiding in Christ. And he said this really had impact on him and remained with him for the rest of his life. So Hudson, he testified, in the Gospels, it says that to every toiling, heavy laden sinner, Jesus said, come to me and rest.
Right.
And Hudson said, well, there are many toiling, heavy laden believers too. And the same invitation is meant for the believers as well. And so Hudson, he experienced this, and he made a call to others. He said, if you are heavy laden with your service, he said, don't mistake it. It's not a matter of, oh, just go and continue on, just labor on, he said. But on the contrary, we should stop
mm-hmm.
and turn back and come back to the Lord and rest.
Right.
So anyway, I was touched by that. He really took heed to the Lord's call. And in the process, he testified he really found a new joy. He called it a threefold joy. He was joyful in being ransomed by the Lord and joyful in having the Lord dwelling within him as his Savior right. and power for fruit bearing. And he was also very joyful that the Lord was possessing him to be his bride and his delight. So, of course, we are familiar with the verse, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I right. think Hudson could testify he really found this to be true. And he himself really began to enjoy being a branch in the vine and not right. worrying so much, but just learning to rest in the Lord. And eventually, Hudson wrote more about this in detail in a book called Union and Communion.
Right.
So I think he really began to experience a real joyfulness in abiding in Christ and having Christ abiding in him.
Right. That was a real life-changing experience, Marty, that Hudson began to experience through that book, Christ is All by Henry Law. Eventually, that opened up Hudson's own, in a sense, penmanship, in that he began to get into John 15, right, about abiding in me and I in you.
Right.
And then eventually Hudson later wrote in more detail of that experience, of that threefold experience that has given so much help to the believers since that time. He called his book Union and Communion,
mm-hmm.
and I'm pretty sure that both Brother Nee and Brother Lee, both of them read this book, and I know they recommended this book as, you know, Hudson was one of the foremost Christian writers on the inner life of Christ, enjoying
right.
Christ in the inner life.
Mm-hmm.
So they were quite prevailing in this kind of Christian walk. Of course, as Hudson went on with his life and work, you know, in toward the 1870s or so on, there were more setbacks. There was the death again. We mentioned that about eventually he lost his wife. And so on, Maria, that was an incredible blow to him.
Mm-hmm.
While Maria was passing away, you know, she mentioned to Hudson, it grieved her to leave him at such a time, but that the Lord would be with him and meet all his needs. And of course, right. shortly after that, she passed away. And then Hudson knelt in prayer and committed her to the Lord, thanking him for the years of happiness
mm-hmm.
they had together, and for taking her to his presence.
Amen.
Then out of this, he rededicated himself anew to the Lord's service.
Mm-hmm. So all these things, you know, Bill, the misunderstandings without by other believers, the trials of the supporters back home, the financial needs, the, of course, the encounters of the suspicion and all the things from the local people,
right.
all were really made a very hard environment. Then the losing of his wife and a couple of his children really caused Hudson to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
He said all he could do was just cry out to the Lord. And he said, whether he called by day or night, he said, quickly the Lord came to him and satisfied his sorrowing heart. So surely Hudson really suffered the loss of all things on account of Christ.
Right.
And in reading his biography, you never sense any trace of bitterness with Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
You really sense he did have the Lord's dear presence. And he just went on continually rededicating himself to his self-denying service to the Lord. And he said the Lord became very intimate to him. And even though this cost him the most, he was finding the greatest joy. And even though he had the greatest loss, he was finding the highest gain. So, Bill, this just causes us to consider, like Paul mentioned in Colossians,
right.
that Paul said he rejoiced in his sufferings on behalf of the church, and filled up on his part that which was lacking of the afflictions of Christ for the body's sake.
Right.
So this verse in Colossians 1:24, I think, is really a significant verse. Maybe you could
right.
comment a little more on this, Bill.
His suffering was just not for himself, Marty. Of course, this verse, we have to be clear, it does not mean that we can have any part or any share in the sufferings that Christ went through to redeem the human race back to God. Right. We have no share in that. We could never have any share in that. None of us could even begin to redeem the human race that Christ did. So mm-hmm. he suffered, number one, for redemption. But there's another kind of suffering that believers must experience, and that's the suffering for the building up of the body of Christ.
Amen.
That does not mean we do stupid things or foolish things and we suffer because of that. No, this is because we live Christ. We live Christ for the producing of the church life and for the building up of the church. Then because our sufferings build up the body of Christ, because our sufferings bring us into the life of Christ, bring us and to keep us in the resurrection life and keep us in the crucified life, when the sufferings cause us to live the crucified life and the life in resurrection, it is the supply of the crucified and resurrection life that supplies the body of Christ with the life needed for its building up.
Amen.
In that sense, Hudson was suffering for the building up of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, this verse is very paramount in Brother Watchman Nee and Brother Lee's writings. And we never saw this before. This is not a not any kind of redemption that we can do, that we can suffer. No, only Christ can do that. This is the sufferings that we go through, not because of our mistakes. No, because we are suffering for the sake and the building up of the body of Christ. And this is the experience that Hudson Taylor was in.
Amen. Well, Bill, I'd just like to conclude today with one quote from Hudson. He said, "The highest service demands the greatest sacrifice, but it secures the fullest blessing and the greatest fruitfulness." So I think this was really their testimony, no doubt, in obeying the Lord's command to go and disciple all the nations. They did really pay a great sacrifice, but they really reaped a full blessing and great fruitfulness that we're still seeing to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So we really appreciate the testimony of Hudson Taylor and those who served with him. And next time, Bill, I think we'll give a concluding word about the work of the China Inland Mission, and especially when Hudson gets into his latter years. What was their experience there in China? And so I think we'll sign off here for today, Bill.
Okay, very good. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Bill.